For me to say that it's an honor. It's an honor to be here. I cannot go anywhere except people comment on the Lord's blessing in this place and on your pastor. And I'm so thankful. I thank God that He would permit me to be in a place that He's been pleased to bless. I pray this evening that the Lord might be pleased to bless His Word to our hearts, that we might behold Him for His honor and for our good. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs, chapter 20. Proverbs 20, and I'd like to read one verse, verse 14. Proverbs 20, verse 14. The Holy Spirit, under the hand that penned these Proverbs, Solomon, says this: It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Now, I never want to set forth anything out of the Proverbs unless I cause myself to remember, and I want to just remind you, when the disciples asked the Lord, "Why do you preach in parables?" Proverbs. This is what he said: because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, and unto them it's not given. Now, I know this, that this evening, this word right here is a word from the Lord to His people. And we desire tonight to behold Christ in this. Now, what's being said out with the Proverbs? They're written in a way that, naturally speaking, you understand what the natural meaning is. Now, what is actually being said right here? It is not, saith the buyer. It has something to do with the buyer. Somebody's buying something. It's not, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. Now, let me tell you what was just said there. It is just in the natural man. I don't care what anything costs. I want a better price. That's what it is. The meaning of this is bad. Nothing, says the buyer. But when it is left to him, he boasts. The man comes and he's looking at something that he wants to buy. A car, a boat, whatever. A piece of property. He looks at something that is for sale. And he asks the person that has the piece of property, "What do you want for that particular item?" And the person that owns the piece of material, the merchandise, gives a price. And it's just in us to say something like this: "What? How much?" No. That's way out of line. I can get something like this, probably better, over here at a much better price. I want to deal with you if I can, but what you're asking is just way too much. It's just too high. And since the buyer sees himself as being shrewd enough to get the cost adjusted downward. When he does, or if he does get it, and he feels that he's conquered the seller, what he does when he's gone, he boasts. You know? You come over here, and I want you to see this cream puff that I have bought. I got this thing for a steal. I made the best negotiation that you have ever seen in your life. Now that's just the way we are. If we can just get it at a better price, we're happy. Knock a little bit off. Make me feel like I've gotten a deal. Now, naturally speaking, that's the way the natural man thinks. But here's the problem. That's the way the natural man thinks when it comes to salvation. That's the way man, by nature, thinks. Now, I've got three points here. Here's the first point. Number one, there is a price concerning man's salvation. There is a price. All right. The Lord has revealed the price of salvation. Now listen, if you want to know what's the cost of salvation? Here it is, right here. Leviticus 18:5, and it says this. Now here's what it's going to cost. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. This is the terms. This is the price for acceptance with Almighty God. Psalm 24, 3 to 5 asks this question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Now here's who can. Here's the one that is permitted. Here, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What does that mean? No guilt. No guilt. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. What does that mean? He's never even desired one time in his life, in his heart, never even thought a worthless or vain thought, or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now here's what man by nature foolishly thinks and reasons when he hears that. That price cannot be that strict. There's no way. Well, listen to what God has to say concerning the strictness of it. Leviticus 11, 44, 45, for I am the Lord, your God. All souls are mine. Almighty God has made us, and we're not our own. We're God's. I am the Lord your God, and ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, separate yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Nothing that is forbidden by the law. This is the standard. How strict is the price. I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The only problem is that man does not believe God. He does not believe. If a woman would be accepted before God, what is the price? All you have to do is obey God Almighty perfectly in every point of God's law, in every thought, in every word, in every deed. But I want you to remember something now. Man that puts his trust in what he's done, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. So here's the price. If you'll have salvation upon some work that you've done, that work that is an inward and outward manifestation of it, of your heart, it must be perfect. Not the best that a man can do. If there is any infraction before or after your supposed salvation by your works, if you ever did anything before, if you're going to approach God on your terms, it's going to have to be terms that Almighty God says pleases Him. And there's only one that the Lord ever spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." If you're going to live forever with God Almighty, remember, when Adam fell in the garden, the Scriptures revealed that man died spiritually. The whole human race plunged into immeasurable depravity and despair. Now, man is born separated from God. We come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies concerning approaching the Lord on our merit. Scripture declares, John 6:65, "No man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." How bad are we? Well, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. So from the foot to the head, every bit, there is no part of man that is unaffected. There's no part that's sound. There's nothing but bruises and dripping sores of rebellion against Almighty God. God looked and saw that every thought of the imagination of man was evil continually. And concerning Almighty God's attitude towards sin, Habakkuk 1:13 says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." So that's the price. You want to know, there's a price. What is it? It is absolute holiness and perfection and obedience. Obedience without any discrepancy. No discrepancy. That's the price. Here's my second point. Man thinks the price is too high. You tell a man that is resting in his own works. You just read a verse of Scripture. What is the hope of your salvation? Well, whatever you're getting ready to say, you know. Whatever. Okay, and then read the Scripture. "Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy." According to His mercy. "Not by works of righteousness." And I'm telling you, in a man's heart, this is what he's going to say. "That's too high. That's too high." No. Man thinks and hears the Word of God and does not believe that he's a sinner, does not believe that we're all as an unclean thing, that all of our righteousnesses, this is too high according to the natural mind, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. He hears what God Almighty declares concerning salvation by grace through faith alone. Not according to any work or merit on man's part, and man's going to say no. Too high, too strict. Those terms are ridiculous. You're asking way more than is reasonable. Surely you don't think that every other place in this city, right here, where a message is being preached concerning man-centered works religion, you surely don't think that all of those are wrong. And you're the only place in this city where the truth is being proclaimed. That's just too high. That's just ridiculous. Salvation, now they won't say it, but they'll think it. Salvation can be had at a cheaper price. Salvation can be had. They hear salvation by grace, and they say, I do believe in salvation by grace. They'll say that. Now, I'm saying this because I just had someone about 2 weeks tell me this. We believe in salvation by grace. We believe in salvation. We do not believe in salvation by works. We believe that God graciously offers. And all you have to do, and I'm thinking, just listen to what you're saying. All the while proclaiming that they believe in salvation by their own will, and the scripture is read, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Man believes that he can reconcile himself back to God. Man believes that he has spiritual ears to hear. But what the problem is that the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden is the same lie that's being told right now. Hath God said that if you disobey him, that if you eat of the fruit, that you'll die? Too high. You're not going to die. All you have to do, now listen, they say, be sincere. You can be saved, they say, under a message that is not this gospel of God's grace. You can be saved. You may come to a higher knowledge when you start believing these doctrines of grace. But you were saved back there. All you have to do is get in the right church and keep the Ten Commandments and be the best you can and treat others as you would have others treat you and be baptized and walk down an aisle and do many other wonderful works in His name, and you'll be as God's. Man born in Adam believes Satan's lie that the cost is too high. Man boasts when he thinks that he has negotiated his salvation in whatever he's done. In his heart, he boasts in whatever he's done. He boasts in the negotiating process of his own salvation and believes himself to have been the great negotiator of life eternal by his works, and takes great pride in boasting of his decision, of his wisdom, so-called wisdom. And the Lord says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils, and we've done many wonderful works in your name. We bought our salvation by our works. We paid the price, and the Lord will say, I never knew you. But here's my third point. Is there any hope for mankind? Yes, there is. God Almighty in Christ has paid the debt for His people. God Almighty in the blessed Savior has purchased by His own blood that which was required. Now, I've got some good news for every sinner that needs a Savior. And I'm going to tell you right now, the price don't change. The price does not change. Almighty God, there is a price for salvation. What is it? It is absolute obedience to God's law. Holiness before God Almighty. And you listen to this precious declaration of hope concerning one that Almighty God has chosen to show mercy. You deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. And let me just tell you about this ransom that God found. It's a ransom in whom God is well pleased. It's a ransom who has met and paid the price of redemption. It is a ransom who satisfied every demand of the law for justice by being made sin for His people. What is it going to cost? Now here's where we are. We're born sinners, and we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Now, what is the penalty for our guilt? Now, here's the penalty. And I'm going to tell you right now, the price don't change. It's not going to change. The wages of sin is death. Now, how can God be just in dealing with my sin and justify me? That is, that the law would look at me and say, no charge. How? One way. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm telling you, this. For He hath made Him sin. Now, I've got a debt, and this is the price. This is the price of my rebellion against God. Death. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, He went to the cross for His people. John 10:15. I lay down my life for the sheep. And for the sheep, and here's the price, there's no negotiation, no reduction. When He went to the cross, one of the most glorious truths that I would not even remotely begin to say that I can enter into the depth of it, but I can tell you what the Spirit of God has said. He made Him to be what His people is. What they are. Whichever. They are sin. the head to the foot, no soundness. And he was made what we are. And there at Calvary, this was the price. This is the price. It's going to be paid, or there'll be no salvation. Sin is going to be dealt with. Almighty God does not sweep it under the rug. And when the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life and He died at Calvary, a debt was paid. A debt owed to the justice of God Almighty. And the wrath of God was spewed out upon Him. That's the cost. There's not going to be one that will ever say justice was not truly satisfied in their salvation. Yes, it was. You deliver him from going down the pit. I found a ransom. And I'm going to deal with the ransom on the behalf of my people in an absolute obedience. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life. And the law was satisfied. The law's demand for justice. I mean, we hear every day of heinous crimes being committed, and because of our court system, and a lenient judge will say, I'm going to say, and you said, well, what about justice? Justice is not done. Justice was done at Calvary. The debt, the battle has been won. The debt has been paid. Christ shed His blood. I have no debt to answer for. I know the presence of sin is still here. But I'm telling you, the debt owed to it, God Almighty has justly put away the sin, the debt of the sin of His people. But what about their holiness? Their debts put away with. How can God be just and then say, no charge? The righteousness that was earned by the Lord Jesus Christ, the obedience of Christ, is imputed. How do you know that it's imputed to anyone? How do you know? They believe God. They believe Him. Robed in His righteousness. The law looks at one such as me, robed in Him. And the law looks and says, no charge. Never has been a charge. Never has been an infraction of my demand. No charge. Sin has been put away. And the ransom paid, righteousness imputed. And the ransom Himself that God found, He never once sought for a compromise. Never once in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup, what cup? 2 Corinthians 5:21, it made sin. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. You're a just God. A ransom. He who puts His people in that blessed remembrance of that everlasting covenant of grace. Isaiah 51:22. Thus saith Thy Lord, the Lord, and Thy God that pleadeth the cause of His people, behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. The price of a man's soul, obedience to the law, justice to God's broken law. It's never changed. Here's the problem. I can't pay. But He has. Almighty God has wrought salvation for a people that He's everlastingly loved. And now, in closing, Isaiah 55, verse 1, says this: Ho, everyone that thirsteth, thirsts for life, thirsts for righteousness, thirsts for obedience before God. Come to the waters, living waters of the Word Himself. Come to the waters, and he that hath no money, you that have nothing with which to buy, you have nothing of any worth in yourself, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. How? By faith. By faith. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John, last verse, John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, don't look to you. Don't look to you. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of the Scripture, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Salvation has a price. It's a high price. It's a price set by God Almighty. Man thinks that he can pay. All that try to pay themselves are going to perish. But for you that cannot pay, for you that have nothing, for you that have nothing to pay, Almighty God is going to show mercy and has shown mercy to you. He's shown you something. You blind Bartimaeuses, you Mephibosheths, I got some good news for you. The ransom has paid the debt, and there's life in him.